Welkom bij de podcast van Hour of Power Nederland. Je gaat nu luisteren naar de boodschap van Bobby Schuler. De boodschap is in het Engels. Liever met Nederlandse ondertiteling erbij? Bekijk dan de uitzending op hourofpower.nl of op ons YouTube kanaal.
Hold your hands like this is a way of receiving from the Lord. Quiet your heart. Let's say this together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with my neighbor. Thank you, friend. You can have a seat. And today's sermon, I know I say this a lot, today's sermon is going to transform your life. If you hear it, this will make such a huge, long-lasting, permanent change in your life. And I want to begin with a quote I heard, I think 15, 20 years ago. It's time-tested. I know it's real because it's worked in my life, and it goes like this: where your focus goes, your energy flows. It's Les Brown that said this: where your focus goes, your energy flows. So we're going to work through Philippians and unpack this idea a little bit today. And if you can understand this principle, I promise you're going to have more positive outcomes in your life. You're going to have more energy. You're going to be more fruitful. You're going to be bearing more of the spiritual fruit in your life. And we're going to start today by looking at a famous passage that if you've grown up in church, you've heard it a million times. But we want to look at it closely. And it's about how to be a person of peace. Now, I know this is not called the hour of peace. It's called the hour of power, right? We have a lot of people who want to have power, who want to achieve, who want to succeed. But can I tell you today, the importance of a peaceful mind in a godly life, in a powerful life, in a successful life, they are not divorceable. They have to be aligned. To have the kind of life you want, it starts in many ways with a peaceful mind. And the scriptures are going to teach us how to have that more often, even every day if we get good at it. Do not play down the power of a peaceful mind. If you look, every great leader that is going somewhere has the ability, when everybody else is frantic, to have sort of a peaceful idea, a peaceful mindset, and to lead with confidence. We call this in leadership studies the non-anxious presence. Non-anxious presence. It looks a little bit like this. Imagine that there's an office room and it's on fire. And the room is filling up with smoke and there's fire everywhere. And it just comes out of nowhere. This is typically what will happen if there are 10 people in the room. One person on average will get up and just run in any random direction just to get away from the fire. And 8 people will freeze. And then on average, there will be one person who will not run and not freeze. They'll stand up and they'll say, "Everybody, relax. Everybody, here we go. Follow me. We're going out the door. It's this way. There's a stairway over here. Follow me. Keep your head down. Cover your face to keep smoke. We're going to exit safely." Now, we call that person the non-anxious presence. That even in a total catastrophe, even in a situation where everybody's life is at risk, it's the person with the peaceful mind that is able to lead and bring everyone to safety. This is what we want you to have today. This is what we're going to get you today. We're going to get you to move from that one of those 8 freeze people. We don't want to be the deer in headlights person when the tragedy or chaos begins. We're going to move from the freeze person to the lead person, all right? And here's how you fix that. You fix that by fixing your focus. Fix the focus. Fix where your mind, where your eyes, where your thoughts are going every day. It's easy to think, how do I even fix my focus? I can't control what my mind, you know, thinks about all the time. No, it's not true. I want to convince you today, you can control what you think about. You can have a disciplined mind, and this changes everything. Let's begin with Philippians chapter 4. Scripture gives us this amazing principle. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says one of the most annoying things ever. If you're in a crisis, if you're going through a tough time, this is one of the most annoying things ever to hear. You ready? Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Rejoice on the Lord when things are going great for you. Okay, we're going to say it together. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Always, that's right. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know what? Paul's just going to say it again. I say it again. Rejoice. Okay, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now let's pause right there. The word that's used in the scripture for anxious or anxiety is a Greek word. It's used 17 times in the New Testament. The word is merimnao. Merimnao. I've talked about it before. Now, when we hear anxiety, we think of clinical anxiety, and I think it's sort of like that. But the word merimnao is a type of worry that looks like you're being pulled in a million directions. Merimnao literally means to be pulled apart like this, pulled thin. Have you ever felt that way before? You ever feel pulled in a million directions, pulled on a million things? All of these things, that these spinning plates that we manage in our daily life. Well, on top of that, we have not just what's going on consciously, but what's also going on, we know clinically, unconsciously. That on top of all the things you're thinking about in your day-to-day life, there's also all this unconscious stuff. It's trauma, right? It's disappointments. It's hurtful words that you got from a bully or from your parents or from some teacher back in the day. It's feeling abandoned. There's even things like we know that when a baby is not held very much or when the parents don't look in the baby's eyes, even as an old man or old woman, that abandonment is still imprinted on their soul in a weird way. So I don't consciously remember it, but it's there. This is merimnao. This is the pulling apart of a person, and it's something that happens in the mind. You're not literally being pulled apart. It's that all of this mental energy that you need to get on with your life is going in a million directions. And so the first thing we need to do is recognize a bandwidth principle. Here's what the bandwidth principle says. It says that my mind can only handle so much. My mind can only handle so much. So because your mind can only handle so much, it is important that you understand that in order to change your thoughts and have a new kind of life, you got to create some bandwidth. You got to create some space. You have to get some freedom in the way you think and create some space in your life so you can become the person you were called to be. That's what God wants for you. That's what you want from your life. So this is what the first thing that Philippians teaches us. It gives us a great equation. You ready for your math people? Here's the equation. Here's the practice it gives us. It's to simply to pause, to pray, and to think. We're going to say that again. Pause, pray, think. Say it with me. We're going to pause, pray, and think. So your car gets busted into. You hear something that somebody says to you. You get a rotten email. Whatever. You just pause, you pray, and you think. Because you're not going to allow that thing to suck joy from your life, to suck mental energy from your life. That is for God. That is for what God's going to do in your life. That is for your dreams. That's where that energy goes. Amen? So you pause, you pray, you think. According to this is what Philippians 4 tells us to do. Number one, pause. Pause means we change our focus to God and we relax. So you immediately, instead of going, oh my gosh, I got to call my sister, I got to call my boss, I got to text someone, you just pause. You take a deep breath. You know this word for Holy Spirit, Ruach Elohim in Hebrew, and in Greek, the pneuma or pneuma in modern Greek, it also means breath. Isn't that interesting? So you just take a deep breath and you pause. And you don't point your eyes to the world. You don't point your eyes to the problem or the circumstance. You point your eyes to God. He's got the whole world in his hands. Boy, does he love you. He is for you. He is on your side. He has got this handled. You start with him. You say, Lord, I give this to you. Okay. The second thing, then you pray. You present, right? As Paul said, you pray. You say, Lord, this is in your capable hands. And just say out loud what's bugging you. Lord, this is bothering me. Lord, this happened. He knows already, but just say it anyway. This is how I feel about this. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, I don't know what to do. What do I do, Lord? And you pray, you bring it to the Lord. And when you're done, you get it off your chest. Number three, the scripture tells us, then you practice some thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving look like? Thanksgiving is remembering and saying with joy out loud what we have. Why do you say it out loud? So the devil can hear. So the deceiver can hear you say, so you can hear, boy, Lord, I thank you. And just whatever comes to your mind, Lord, thank you for my house. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my church. And then he says in Philippians 4:7, and why do you do this? He says, because this is what will happen. Peace. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What does that mean? It means now you've got this peace in your life and you can't explain it to anybody. Doesn't make any sense, but boy, are the results going to be different now because of what's happening here, right? It transcends all understanding, and it will guard your heart. So what is your heart? Your heart's not your emotions. Your heart's your will in the Bible. It's what presses you through something. It's what gives you to do just one more. It's the thing that gets you up in the morning excited for your goals and your dreams. So it'll guard your heart, and it'll guard your mind. This is your ideas, your philosophy, your worldview. It'll protect you. And you'll now be protected from a lot of the damaging stuff that can ruin your life. Philippians 4:8, as we continue on through the scripture, it says, so this is, Paul tells us how to do this. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what do?
Say it out loud.
Think. You think about such things. You think about these things. Think about these things. The first thing I learned from this scripture, if it's true, and it is, it's the word of God, is that what you think about is a choice. Doesn't feel like a choice, but it's the same as like me eating cheesecake is a choice. Doesn't feel like a choice. It's there. I have to, right? I have to. But no, I have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice about what you think about. And so we could add whatever we want to this list, right? This Paul's not just saying these are the only things, but we get the vibe, right? He's saying whatever inspires you, whatever brings you joy, whatever edifies you, whatever motivates you, whatever builds you up, whatever gets you excited in the morning, focus on these things. Fix your eyes on these things. Jesus tells us, very strange passage, he says, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What does that mean? That's a weird thing to say. Here's what it means. Your eyes are windows to the house. Your eyes are windows to the house. If light is coming through the windows, the house is full of light. If darkness is coming through the windows, the house is dark. You want to be a bright lighted house. You want to be full of joy. You want to be full of energy. You want to be so excited when you get up in the morning. You want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Your eyeballs are windows, literally. What you focus on, what you look at, what you listen to, you're a sponge. You're taking it all in. So make sure that you diligently discipline your focus to be fixed on what is good. Remember what Helen Keller said? When we turn toward the sunshine, the shadows fall behind. That's right. So here's what a positive mindset will do for you in life. Positive mindset will open up all sorts of opportunities you had no idea were there. All of a sudden, with a positive mindset, you're going to see solutions because of these opportunities and because of these people. And that's another thing. You're going to attract positive people into your life. You're going to attract solution-oriented people into your life. You're going to attract Jesus people into your life if you're full of Jesus. And you're going to see people you can help, but even more importantly, guys, you're going to see people you can't help. There are people in your life you can't help. And you're going to be full of the positivity and the strength to say, I love this person, I care about this person, I can't help this person. And that clarity is going to make your life so much bigger, open up tons of bandwidth in your life, and things are going to get better for you if you make it a discipline, not once, but all the time, as much as you can. Where you're changing your focus. We also know what happens with a negative mindset. If I always see the negative, if I'm always focused on dark stuff, I'm focused on stuff that I know is not good for me, stuff I wouldn't want my adult children to see, or stuff I wouldn't want the ideal me to see, and I'm still looking at it, if I'm pessimistic all the time, or if I'm just negative all the time, I'm going to attract pessimistic, negative people into my life that, by the way, I don't really trust very much. I'm going to be creating problems that are not fixable, and I'm going to attract problems into my life, and I'm going to catastrophize everything if I've got a negative mindset. So what happens? Your life shrinks. Your life just gets smaller and smaller. Why? Because of your focus. Can we just say this? Where your focus goes, your energy flows. Where your focus goes, your energy flows. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were sitting at a table, and someone asked them, what is the number one factor you think that attributed to your financial success? And Buffett, without even blinking, says, focus. And Bill Gates looks at him and goes, yep, that's right, I agree with that. Now, you take it or leave it, this was said. And Buffett said, focus is a lot more about saying no than it is about saying yes. It's about saying no, 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 so I can say yes to something that really matters to me. As Christians, we are called to love our neighbor limitlessly. I mean, we got to love our neighbor, but love does not mean that you say yes to everything. Some of you have said yes when you don't have a yes to give. And we call that sucking the bandwidth away, right? That's not what we want from our lives. We want to, in a loving way, a respectful way, a polite way, kindly say, you know what, I don't think so, but if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Right? There's nothing wrong with saying that and knowing what you're called to do. The reason we say yes so often is we don't have a big, big yes that we're excited about, a big goal that's driving us. Get that goal in your life, we'll change. Where your focus goes, your energy flows. If you focus on God, your energy is going to grow. If you focus on possibilities, your energy is going to grow. If you focus on inspiring people and you surround yourself with inspiring people, your energy is going to grow. If you focus on what your family can become and you move towards that, your energy is going to grow. If you have big goals, big dreams that are bigger than you, that are big enough for God to fit inside, guess what? Your energy is going to grow. If you fixed on becoming physically healthy and getting in shape, your energy is really going to grow. Let me tell you. But if you focus on loss, if you focus on all the things in life, and I'm sure there are many that are unfair, you're going to lose energy. If you surround yourself with people who blame the world and the systems and all this constantly, you're going to lose energy. If you surround yourself with thoughts of focusing on all the negative changes that have taken place in your life recently, you're going to lose energy. If you focus on disadvantages, you're going to lose energy. If you focus on things you cannot control, all your energy will be gone. Because where your focus goes, your energy goes. All that energy will be going into a bottomless pit. It'll all be going into a black hole. So here's the key. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't have a lot of energy. Here's the key. If you don't have a lot of energy, invest the little bit of energy you got. That's the key. If you only have a little bit of energy, invest it. Here's something every farmer knows. Don't eat the seed corn. Don't eat the seed corn. Now, every farmer, when they have a harvest, most of it goes to be sold or they eat, but they always keep some set aside. What? That's for planting. That's for the next harvest. If you eat that, there will be no more harvest and no more farm. We oftentimes relate this idea of seed planting to money, but I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about your most valuable resource, which is time. Time. Let's look at it this way. Imagine that each day you've got 24 hours. How much time do you have today, by the way? 25 hours? How much more time do I have than you have per day? We've all got 24, I think, right? Unless you did design that time machine, we've all got 24 hours. So let's say you spend 8 hours working, 8 hours sleeping, if you're doing it right, you've got an extra 8 hours. We're gonna call that your time profit. All right, that's your time. 8 hours is your time profit. Now, you've got this extra 8 hours sitting around. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to eat it all? Eat some of it, right? You can eat 7 hours or 6 hours. But if you want more time, if you want a bigger harvest, you need to plant. You need to use some of that time to become the person you're called to be. See, too many people are asking God to make it easier on them. God wants to make you stronger. People are praying, Lord, take away the challenges in my life. We should be praying, God, give me the skills I need to face those challenges. Here's how you get it. You take that extra 8 hours you've got to become, some of that, to become a person. You know, you are so close. You are so close. You are one skill away from doubling your income. That's true for almost everybody that's listening to me right now. It's so hard to deal with that reality, but it's true. Young girl making minimum wage, $15 an hour. Her friend tells her, she asks her friend, how do I invest my $500? Her friend says, spend it on a 2-week course on phlebotomy. What's phlebotomy? To become a phlebotomist? It's blood. You draw blood. She spends 2 weeks and $500, and now she makes $30 an hour. That's a good investment of that $500. Friend of mine, Davey, he lost his job. He's kind of a zany guy. He's Hannah's cousin, actually. I'm pretty sure. Not third cousin, but first. Davey says one day, I'm going to learn to code. He went down to the library, spent a whole year learning to code from books and from that cheap computer. Now, how much does a library card cost? After inflation and everything that's been going on, how much is library card today? Is it nothing? It's nothing. Right? It's nothing. So there is so much available to us, but we got to give the bandwidth to think about what's possible for our lives. You're just one skill away from doubling your income. You are one trait away from getting married, or if you're already married, you're one trait away from saving your marriage or even having a thriving marriage. What's that trait? Good question. Google it. You are one opportunity away from your dream life. So here's a good question. How much of that 8 hours can you spend each day looking for the opportunity that will change your life? Man, if you spent 15 minutes a day just looking for opportunity, what would change in your life? And the answer is everything. So, we've never had more, this is the challenge of the bandwidth thing. We've never had more distractions ever in human history, ever, than we do right now. We've never had more access to sin, to things that destroy us, to things that distract us, to things that are toxic, to things, right? We have more access than ever, but we also, the scale is balanced and things are just, because we've also never had more access to levers, to opportunity, to spiritual help, to podcasts, to music. That's available to all of us for free whenever we want. So that's the amazing thing, is that right now, and maybe it's the last days, everything has heightened, the bad and the good. All the opportunity is bigger than it's ever been. All the distraction and evil is bigger than it's ever been. Both are there. And so it's our job to choose opportunity, to choose positivity, to choose life, to choose the Lord. And maybe you're here today and you haven't made a choice. I just want to close with this. It is so important that you choose God. You know, everything I've said today, it doesn't matter if your home is not in heaven. Everything I've said today, it doesn't matter if you're not at peace with God. I want to encourage you today. If you're listening to what I said, I became a Christian sitting in a seat just the way that you did. I didn't come down for an altar call. I just made a decision in my heart, and my life has never been the same. I want to encourage you today, right where you are, to make a decision to invite Christ into your life, to pray for the forgiveness of sins, to trust that he died on the cross for you, and to become a Christian. Today's a great day to become a Christian. I want to encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you, God. Even now, I just pray over anyone that has darkness inside of them. Darkness be removed in Jesus' name. Anyone right now who says, I'm out of energy, I barely got into church today. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would give them energy. Fill that house with light, I pray. That's you, even now in your heart quietly, just invite the Holy Spirit to fill you with light. God is a gentleman. He does not invade. He has to be invited. You invite him into your life and watch how your body will be full of light. He's forgiven you. Don't worry about all the stuff. Forget it. Do your best. Forget the rest. Invite the Lord into your heart. And Lord, we just say, we thank you. We love you. We're going to pause, pray, and thank anytime hardship comes this week or whenever. We're ready. And Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar de podcast van deze week. We hopen dat deze boodschap jou heeft bemoedigd. Wil je meer weten over Hour of Power of dagelijkse bemoedigingen ontvangen? Ga dan naar www.hourofpower.nl.